HawkFanatic.com, brought to you by Deary Brothers Ford, Patrick Eads, Tyler Eads, and everybody at Deary Brothers Ford on Mormon Trek. Steve Anderson, Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Mike's E-Keys for Cars. GT Car and his great crew at Supple's Building and Remodeling. Supple's Flowers, the home of 1-800-800-ROSE. The Midtown Family Restaurants. Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, 101 South Dubuque Street, downtown Iowa City. Senior Benefits. Wells Fargo Advisors. Premier Automotive in North Liberty. The Ox Yoke Inn and the Amanas. Streets Maintenance. Dr. Lance Forbes Diamond Dental in Cedar Rapids. And Big Dog Tech Solutions. Here's Tom Suter and from HawkFanatic.com, Pat Hardy.
Yes, indeed, Cappy. How's the show gone today? Fabulous.
Just as good as...
Is it going to be?
Yes, it's going to be. And less.
All right. Good enough.
No, it's okay.
Good enough. Morning, Mr. Hardy.
Good morning.
How's things in your world? Yeah.
What's the song from... Talking Heads, Same As It Ever Was.
Same As It Ever Was.
Yeah. Great song. Yeah. Well, I don't think that's the name of the song. It's
No.
Isn't it Once in a Lifetime? Once in a Lifetime.
Yeah.
Love that song.
Yeah. Cheapest video ever made.
Made famous by MTV early on.
Yeah.
Remember he was wearing the oversized suit and basically dancing with himself.
Basically.
The microphone. Great video, though.
Yeah. But it was the cheapest music video I think ever.
Well, it was him just standing there and doing weird gyrations.
Yeah, behind.
With an oversized suit.
Yeah. Well, he does that a lot. he really does.
He used to wear the oversized suit a lot. I never really understood it, but, you know, I never understood Devo either.
No.
I still don't.
Are they still wearing flower pots?
Well, they're still touring.
Yeah, they're touring.
But are they still wearing flower pots?
Yes.
Okay.
That's their thing.
I've never understood that. It seems kind of stupid. Are they in the Hall of Fame? No, I think they're not.
No.
I don't believe. In fairness to Devo, there's some bands.
I don't know. I think they might have just gotten voted in.
In fairness to Devo, there's some bands that are in there that they would compare favorably to, at least notoriety and success.
Uh-huh.
And I can't stand Devo.
No, it's not my favorite.
But they had more than just Whip It, didn't they? Didn't they have another?
They are working in a coal mine.
Okay, that one.
They're not.
They're not in? I put Devo kind of like with the B-52s, kind of in a same type of category. Didn't like either one.
The B-52s had at least more hits.
I thought the B-52s were better, a lot better, but that's just me.
How many hits did they have? They had Rock, which I just was...
Rock Lobster, horrible. Love Shack. Love Shack.
And those songs were just like fingernails on a chalkboard.
Rock Lobster.
Yeah, that's just
that was terrible. Bad.
Stupid.
I saw them, though, down at Riverside. It was a fun show. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Did they still have the beehive haircuts?
Yeah.
Did they?
At 65. Yeah, that's natural at 65.
Sure. Yeah. Actually, I don't remember what their dues were like, but I did enjoy it.
For our listeners, we've got Iowa baseball player Kyle Olivo calling in at 9:30, and he's 5-for-9 as a hitter, and he's allowed just 2 hits and 8 innings as a pitcher. He's basically tearing that league up right now. He's playing for the Hyannis Harbor Hawks in the Cape Cod League. So that's Hyannis, that's Massachusetts, right?
HHH,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so I want to ask him where they house those. I don't know if they're if they're staying in apartments or if families take them in. But that'd be kind of neat to be able to go out there for the summer, play baseball.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I mean, there's a lot of neat stuff out there.
Didn't Connor McCaffrey do that? Go play
I think
for someone
he may
there?
Have one time before even, I mean, obviously he never played at Iowa. Much did he? I don't know if he ever appeared in a game for Iowa baseball. Did he?
I can't remember
if he did or not.
I thought he did, but brief.
But they have guys scattered all over the place, and I think this league out there is a pretty good one. And you know, it's impressive. He's making a solid case to be a two-way player next year. And I think that when I say that, I can see him doing a lot of DHing, and of course he's going to be doing extensive pitching. But He's, I mean, would they use him at second base? That's what he's playing. We'll see what he says. I know I've talked to Rick. Rick says he's if there's anyone capable of being a full-time two-way player in college baseball, he said it's Kyle Olivo. He said he's got the talent and the mindset to do it. So that would be really rare.
Yeah, that's hard to do, man.
I mean, he did do a little bit of it this past year, enough to be a semifinalist for the Olerud Award. I think he had 28 plate appearances, and he had 8 hits, 4 doubles, 7 RBIs. And then, of course, he led him in ERA pitching-wise with like a 3.48 ERA. He had, 67 strikeouts and 51 and 2/3 innings. So, yeah, no, barring injury, he's got a chance to have a great season next year and gives them a key piece to build around. And speaking of building, I walked by there yesterday. That there's where the press box used to be. It's completely gone. And you know, I saw them bringing in cement and all. So it'll be interesting to see how much progress they make over the next month or so. By the time we start going over there for football press conference and stuff, because yeah, I mean it is gone. There is nothing there where the press box used to be. At least yesterday, it may have be different by now.
So in this first round of refurbishing. They're doing the press box and some of the seating?
I believe so, yeah. And then I'm not sure what the next phase is. I mean, they've already upgraded the locker room and what mm-hmm, have you. Mm-hmm. And the field itself, I mean, it's fine. I mean, the lighting I seems fine. Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with any of the actual field stuff. It's just everything around it. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, were you wondering if Connor McCaffrey played baseball for Iowa?
I can't remember if he ever appeared in a game.
Yeah, he did. He played it. He was number 30, and he played right fielder.
That's right. For like 1 year, didn't he? Early on, yeah.
And he had a good arm, a throwing. That's why they had him in there on the end throwing basketballs way down the end of the
yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I thought he did. I just wasn't for sure. But I know it was only for 1 year, and it was brief. Because, you know, it was just too hard. Basketball just made it too hard.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time he got done.
Yeah, he did play that year, and I was amazed that he didn't play more because I think he really liked baseball.
Well, he did, but I think he also struggled a little bit to hit, didn't he? I don't remember his hitting being. I can't remember. Again, like I said, I wasn't for sure.
Well, he had some good hits.
But it was just never going to happen with basketball. I mean, even if they didn't make a deep run, the baseball season was well into weeks into it by the time he even had a chance to ever join the team. That's why it just never materialized.
Well, and then after he didn't play anymore, he was always over there watching because I saw him there several times.
Sure, yeah. I know you make some friends and what have you. So, yeah, it's
In fact, he even took Caitlin over there once.
It's unfortunate it didn't work out, but it, like I said, it was just going to be a tough one. I mean, because the sports overlap so much.
Yeah, and that is rough.
Be it easier for a football player to do it like Dana Hughes did because there's no overlap. But now football's so year-round.
It is.
It would be even more difficult to do that.
Well, it's the same way with that football wrestling.
Yeah, it's not
like
easy.
Like our heavyweight was having problems with both.
Well, yeah, and he hasn't done football for 2 years. Mark Sindlinger was able to do them both throughout his career, which is very rare. But he was also a heavyweight, so he didn't have to do much to adjust his weight in either sport. It made it easier. But, yeah, Connor just – I mean, I think Connor was good enough to be an every game player, a position player. He just never really had the opportunity because the seasons were just too far in advance when he was done with basketball.
Too much.
And didn't he also get
an
injury?
I think he had
at
stuff.
At one
yeah,
point it, that
I,
he
– I mean, some of that was
– Yeah, he did get hurt. He was hurt now.
Some of that was like 6-7 years ago, if you can believe that. I mean, I know. But, yeah, he gave it a shot early, but basketball was obviously priority number one, even though I think he had more upside in baseball.
But I noticed he had the same number playing baseball as he did basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do remember that now. Yep, it's coming back to me.
Okie doke. Well, you guys have a good day.
Yep. Thanks, Carl.
That's what how you benefit from going to every single Iowa baseball game they play at
all.
Yeah,
hey,
it is coming back to me.
She could be the Hawks' historian.
I do remember him now in right field for a few games way back early in his career.
Well, Connor, it was part of one of my favorite plays in Iowa basketball history.
Which one was that?
The last play at Rutgers.
Oh, to Wieskamp?
Full court pass, Wieskamp catching, spinning, and banking it off the backboard and making the shot.
Sometimes it pays to be lucky.
With like a fraction of a second left. Oh, my God, what a play.
Yeah, and it was luck.
Oh, well.
That was great execution.
Yes, it was.
And the only part of luck was, I mean, Wieskamp actually misfired on the shot, but he happened to luck out because it hit the backboard and dropped in. But I remember how quickly he got the shot off, which helped. And, yeah, Connor was really good at those full-court passes.
He was.
He had a strong arm.
Can you talk directly? Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Was it not sounding right? Not up to standard?
Well, not up to hearing.
Oh, you couldn't hear it just because it was...
Well, it sounded like you were off mic.
Oh, that's weird. I literally moved it like an inch.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
There you go.
These are very expensive mics.
Yeah, I can tell.
Very precise.
I can tell the one hanging there.
Well that's not the mic.
Yeah.
Well, it disconnected the moment I touched it, and I can never get them to snap back in, so I just wait for you guys to do it. Yeah. No, I know these are the greatest mics in the industry. I know that.
They are one of the greatest mics. D 421s.
I'm just echoing your sentiments.
Compared to Electro Voice,
so you're basically backing up what I just said.
Basically, yes. There
we go. The spirit of cooperation.
Smart ass.
No, I just said these are the greatest mics in the industry, and you agreed with me.
You said it as a smart ass.
Well, but they are good, actually.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Are they? Because you guys used to kind of criticize your mics. Did you upgrade?
I got new mics. Well, I criticized them because they were like 40 years old, and they never had these muffs around them to stop people from slobbering in them.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
I don't like to be too close to the mic.
No,
other people have been
I actually wash these a lot.
I know, I've seen you do that.
Yeah.
I've seen you do that.
Yeah.
But, we're off on a Connor McCaffrey tangent, and he doesn't even like the Hawkeyes anymore.
No, he doesn't seem to.
Actually, it seems like he hates the Hawkeyes and everything about it, including the beat writers who he blocks on Twitter. I wonder if that will ever be resolved. I don't know how it will be. But it's a weird situation.
You know, eventually Dad had to get canned.
He disagrees.
It's his dad, yes.
I understand that, but I mean,
he'll argue.
Go so long. And, listen, any coach that goes so long, Ferentz is like, you know, a fluke.
Well, if Ferentz goes 4-8 and 5-7, he'll be gone.
Yeah.
It's not like he's got some golden security
blanket.
Being this long
of a tenure,
Fran's problem is he didn't make the NCAA tournament in each of his past two seasons. That contributed to the drop in the fans, but I still think there was even if they had made the tournament in one of those 2 years, the fan issue was still out there. It was out there.
And the teams just weren't very good, and they weren't very compelling.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't horrible. I mean, you know, his last team, didn't it go like 17-16?
Yeah.
I mean, his teams weren't, but it just, once they had back-to-back no tournament bids, coupled with the attendance, it just became too much. Beth made the decision. Now what Connor would say, well, okay, yeah, it was back to only 2 years, but he still made it 7 out of 14, and we had hardly any NIL. I guarantee that would be the first, and rightfully so. That would be their argument. We had nothing for NIL. My dad, you know, begged to get help in that, and it never happened. And that he was always, you know, playing shorthanded. There's an argument.
It'd be
for that.
One thing if Dad ended up, you know, after this, just not. But he ended up pretty good. He ended up where? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
I was surprised Connor took it to this extreme, but you know, he's
very passionate.
Very passionate, and some will say, well, he's being petty and vindictive. There's probably a little bit of that.
Yeah, there's some of that, and he's maybe a little bit immature in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, but he's
probably fair.
He's just pissed that his dad got fired.
Well, I don't blame you. I would be, too. Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of pride in that family. I'm guessing Margaret didn't take that firing very well either.
Oh, come on.
Who took it worse?
Margaret thought it was great.
Well, Margaret's not on Twitter, I don't believe. Margaret's more into the face-to-face.
Connor or Margaret?
Well, I don't know. I'm guessing maybe Connor, because I've heard that Margaret wanted to get out of here anyway. She was ready for a change.
Probably true.
I've heard that from old, and they weren't like criticized. They just said she was, you know, she wasn't born or raised here. But she, I was told, wasn't crazy about living here. You heard the same rumblings.
Yes,
that she never was crazy about living here. It just never really fit for her. And now, well, she's in a completely different situation now out in Philadelphia.
With generational wealth, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, God. So I mean, Fran's still making good money.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not making what he made at Iowa, I don't assume. I don't believe, but he's still making good money. Fran will have made probably 30, 40 million before he's all done. And Connor will get a lot of that money down the road, too.
Fran's done pretty well.
No, he really has. And I'm happy that he landed at a good place where he can be around his brother and say what you want about how it ended at Iowa. Fran had a good coaching performance this year. To get that team
in the
tournament, that took a lot of work, and he did it. So it's both sides. It ended kind of happy. That's why I just wish Connor could kind of figure out a way to just kind of release the anger, you know?
Yeah.
But that's easier for me to say because it's not my father who got fired. But it would be weird, though, to have spent 6 years at a university playing basketball and to have lived more than half of your life in the town knowing that you were going to go to that school, and now all of a sudden you hate it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be strange? That'd be like you all of a sudden happening to make you hate the Hawks. What could cause you to hate the Hawks, Suter?
Ooh.
Is there anything
hard out, since I grew up.
Is there anything out there that could cause you to hate the Hawks?
Boy, I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't think there is.
It's been since I was 5 years old.
Well, your
5 years
father,
old.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, I've
been indoctrinated from
you're in a cult.
The age of five. Well, yes.
He's in a Hawkeye cult.
I think sports very much is a cult.
Okay, but for a while, your wife, after, you know.
She worked there.
Offered. But, I mean, she lost all, you know, wouldn't go to the basketball games.
You still went, though, didn't you?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you didn't go to any?
Went to few.
Yeah.
Went to a few.
She didn't go to any, though, for a stretch, right?
No.
Yeah, there was a lot.
A lot of people.
Well, I know, well, especially a lot of women, I remember.
Yeah, well, and
quit going.
Yeah, and rightfully so. Hello?
What if they allowed some sort of Sandusky-type deal where it was an institutional cover-up?
Would
did that turn you off of them?
I think that's possible, yeah.
That's a good comparison.
And, you know, can you imagine Beth Getz turning her head to something like that?
And see, I'm going to sound like a big Hawkeye homer because I guarantee Beth Getz isn't listening right now. They wouldn't do that. Say what you want about Iowa. They've usually been, even with Gary Barta, they've always been pretty ethically sound.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't.
They really have.
They wouldn't.
I told you the story about Brad Banks. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
I was just going to agree with you. It's just inconceivable to me that the University of Iowa would do something like that. But I'm sure it was the same inconceivable to the Penn State people.
Yeah, although there had been whisperers under the surface there for years.
Listen, he lost. Sandusky lost. He had some damn charity, children's charity in 79.
Yeah.
And they threw him out of
there
the
were
charity.
So many warning signs. So
yes.
many
yep.
warning signs.
And they were all ignored.
Yeah.
But that is a good question.
That's probably about it.
Yeah. So.
Or maybe something or something like the Larry Nassar at Michigan State, something like that could.
But I just don't I've had my issues. I've written things that have pissed people off. But I just think from an ethics and moral standpoint, Iowa's been pretty solid. I remember I told you the story about when Brad Banks was in the Heisman Trophy, and my family have, you know, they own a tuxedo business.
Mm-hmm.
And we rented. Brad and CJ Jones got tuxedos for the ceremony, and we basically gave them to him. Because, you know, my fam, the people, they're big Hawkeye fans. They were thrilled to Brad. Iowa found out about it. And Fred Mims said, you can't do that. They got to pay. And I remember being really impressed by that. They're like, now, when they're done, if you want to reimburse them and do whatever, that's up to you when they're done. But as long as they're playing at Iowa, they can't have gifts like that. Imagine now, think about where we are with NIL. They couldn't have a tuxedo, but now you can have I mean, it's crazy. But I was always impressed by that.
Yeah.
No, with Santa, Penn State, it knew that crap was, or maybe it didn't positively know, but God, he lost a charity because of that crap in 79.
Yeah, I don't know why Paterno turned a blind eye to this. I just, to this day,
Because Paterno wasn't all that ever.
No, I know, but I don't, you know. even fixing grades is horrible. Don't get me. But then you take it up to child rape. I mean, I just think that would be where a lot. Okay, I'm drawing the line there. You know, I mean, just of all the stuff about how he allegedly intimidated. Yeah. He intimidated professors, supposedly, right?
Yeah.
But the child rape stuff. I just, to me, that there's got to be a line, and I just that was amazing. That whole story when it came out was like so depressing and disturbing. But you know, Penn State fans, they've moved on and
long since.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they business
were moving,
as usual.
They were moving on then and defending him.
Yeah.
Not Sandusky, but Joe Pa.
Joe Pa, and yeah, so that was a dark period. I mean, it really was. And I just know, but I've always said that about Iowa. I've been over here for 30 years. Bowlesby, we certainly had our problems. They didn't handle the Pierce thing well at all. I mean, they're human. They've made mistakes. And, you know, and I pointed those out, and, you know, and a lot of Iowa fans acknowledged those mistakes, including your wife. She said, I'm not going, and that was her right. Mm-hmm. But I think for the most part, though, they've been pretty solid in that regard.
They have.
And I think Hayden, for the most part, was very ethically sound.
I believe so.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I think he was. I just think they...
Nobody was going to... You know, you go to a bunch of schools, and it'd be rare to find a school that's going to put up with that.
Yeah, no, that was a weird situation. So
it is, and hopefully never to be repeated. But
and then the Big Ten caved because of pressure, and they ended up not having to serve near as long of a punishment,
no,
did they?
No, because they, you know, money.
To think that's been almost 20 years now, wasn't it? When the Sandusky mm-hmm. thing break in like 2010 or 11, I think it was.
His kid went to jail on the same.
Been at least 15 years, yeah, at least.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that reading about it.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah. Family was just messed up.
Yeah, kid. I think the kid's still in jail.
And obviously, the wife didn't do anything to stop it.
She just seemed to turn a blind eye, right, from what I've read.
Yeah.
What a god though! What a,
let's get oogie.
Let's get something more positive.
Well, okay.
Iowa announced who they're sending to the Big Ten Media Day for football, and I wrote a column. It's perfect for Iowa. Lutmer, Ostrenga, and Jaden Montgomery. Between the three of them, Iowa was their only Power Four scholarship offer. And I mean, Ostrenga was going to come here and play baseball, but it's incredible though.
And they're all good players.
They're all good players. And Tom Lemming told me he thinks Kirk is number one in the nation at doing just that, taking unheralded guys with hardly any recruiting profile and developing them into stars, and I think you can make a case for that. And
sounds Ben's got a little bit of that in him as
Well, and I think he's going to have to
because
he's not George. He's as great as he is as a coach. He's not George Raveling. You imagine Ben with George Raveling as his ace recruiter?
Well,
now
we've only seen 1 year at Iowa, but boy, Ben's track record is amazing.
Yes, and like I said, they were 10-10, and people were like. Nobody was like, oh, because they were going to make the tournament. Even if they had lost in the first round, you could have still argued, hey, at least they got in. And that would have been, but the fact that they won three games, and that's all it takes. That is all it takes.
Hello.
Thanks. Hello.
Is this Kyle?
It is.
Hey, Kyle. Good morning. I appreciate you coming on again. Back by popular demand, we got Iowa baseball player Kyle Olivo. And I got to say, I was looking at your stats. You're doing a really good job out there of promoting your cause as a two-way player. I mean, what are you, 5-for-9 from the plate? You've got you've allowed 2 hits in 8 innings. Just talk about how this is going out there so far.
I'm really grateful for the opportunity to play out here, and I'm really blessed to be able to play with these teammates, and I think it's been a really fun time, and I think the coaching staff down here allows the players to play free and, you know, not really have any worry in the world and just go out there and just have fun. And I think that's the biggest thing is just playing with confidence and just having fun while I'm doing it.
So where do you guys live when you're out there? Do you live with families? Do you live in apartments? Can you explain the living arrangements?
Yeah, so I live with his name's Rich Cogliano. He's our bench coach for our Harbor Hawk team, and he's the host family. So most of the kids are split between host families. And so I live with two other guys. And then they'll make us dinner every night and stuff like that. So
okay.
It's pretty nice.
So do you get any time to sightsee and just get time to yourself to kind of, you know, check out the what it's like out there? Do you get much time away from baseball?
We get we get some off days here and there, and then we can go do whatever we want. But we had a rain out, so we were supposed to have off yesterday. Didn't have that. So then we have a stretch here where we play like 8 games in a row or something like that. So, but yeah, I mean, we do have time off to go see some stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So isn't the Kennedy compound at Hyannis?
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you seen it?
So we tried to see it, but it's like blocked off. Like you can't get within like pretty close to it, but you can like kind of see it.
Okay, that for some
well,
reason,
that's too bad.
It doesn't surprise me. Now, I mean, I've talked to Rick Heller, of course, your coach, and he says if there's anybody that can be a full-time two-way player, it's you because of your makeup, your talent, whatever. Is that your goal for this coming year, your sophomore season? I mean, because you're playing so well at both. Is that what you want to do if you have your way, DH and pitch and do whatever? But what are you kind of hoping to achieve this next season?
Well, I mean, I'm going to keep doing everything I can to be the best pitcher and infielder that I can be. And then I just want to go to school next year and help lead the team and get everyone to buy in and just win games. Whatever that looks like when the time comes and whatever I need to do to help the team win, that's my main goal.
Okay. I got to tell you, I had a chance to watch you in the Big Ten tournament on TV. I mean, it wasn't the same as being there, but on TV they got the camera right behind the pitching, and man, your stuff against Michigan State was electric. I mean, the fastball, the movement, the location, the break on your pitches. I mean, you were in a groove. Can you talk about what it feels like when you're just in that kind of groove, and it seems like the hitters, you just kept them guessing the whole time?
Yeah, well, it was definitely a good outing. It didn't end the way we wanted to, though. But I mean, you know, I think part of that comes with, I mean, you've heard me say before, just like the confidence piece, like the coaches at Iowa, like Heller and Marty and Wes, like they do a really good job with like when I get the ball in the game, I have no, like I'm going out there, it's me versus that guy at the plate, and just having that confidence and just not letting that guy beat you is kind of what has kind of made me take a bigger step from West of the season, I'd say.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, it also helps to have electric stuff, too. I mean, your 95-mile-power fastball with all the movement, it was really impressive. I want to ask you, I didn't ask you this the first time we had you on. You suffered a Tommy John injury in high school, and Iowa stuck with you, and they stayed with you. And how much did that mean to you? Obviously, you came here. Can you just talk about the commitment they've made to you and vice versa? Because I got to admit, Kyle, I was hoping you would stay here, but I was thinking you might go to a different school through the portal and whatever, but can you just talk about the commitment that both of you sides seem to have with each other? There seems to be a lot of loyalty and trust.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I really appreciate everything they did for me in high school, and they made me feel wanted, and I respected that, and I wanted to make them feel the same way. And I think honestly, to me, you know, you could go somewhere else, you could win, you could jump in, and you could maybe win the College World Series, whatever. But, like, to me, it would be more important to win with the school I started at and, like, kind of give back to everything that they've done for me. And I think it's important to have values when it comes to, like, being loyal to your college. Because, I mean, a lot of kids don't do that all the time nowadays, but I mean, I can see why they want to leave, but at the same time, I think it's more important to me to go back and win with the guys that I started with and try and make it form like a culture there. You know what I mean?
Oh, without, I
mean, that's fantastic.
It's yeah, and it's pretty rare in this age, and I think that says something about maturity. I don't want to get overly dramatic, but I also think maybe it says something about the way you were raised. Can I assume your parents stressed loyalty as a big part of it?
Yeah, I mean, loyalty is probably the biggest piece of it. You know, we were at practice every day last year. You're with all the guys, and you know, we're all working really hard every day to one goal. And you know, I want to do that again with the same guys. I don't want to jump ship. And also for the guys that graduated that I played with, and we didn't get to accomplish what we wanted to. I want to try and accomplish that this season for those guys as well.
Can I assume that also means you enjoy being not just a baseball player at Iowa, but all the other stuff, the academics, that it's basically been a good fit for you every way around?
Yeah, I love it. It's awesome. you know, I grew up in Wisconsin, so I'm used to the cold, so it's not that too big of a deal with the cold, but, you know, it's a great place to be for sure.
Okay, so you're out in Hyannis this summer. What are there any specific areas of your game that you hope to improve from this summer? Have you carved out particular goals or a specific part of your game that you expect to improve from this summer?
Yeah, I mean, I think pitching wise, it's cool to be on a team like this with kids coming from a bunch of different places, because you can also, I mean, it also applies to hitting too. It's just seeing what those other kids do, like what their routines are, watching how they go about their business. And I think you always can learn stuff from other people. But I think the biggest thing for me is, like, I'm just trying to make my game sharper, whether that's anything that I feel like I could work on as far as, like, pitches or, you know, like, mental game, things like that. I think that's important for me to, you know, continue, because there's always room for improvement no matter how. And I think that's probably the biggest thing, just kind of seeing how everyone else goes about their business, because we play some pretty, like, really good players mm-hmm. up here. Like, you see players that are, like, all over social media, the kids that are top-ranked players, whatever. And I think just watching the way they go about it and kind of comparing it to yourself and seeing and give it, like, picking and choosing what, like, you think might work for you is kind of what I've been trying to do.
Obviously, this is probably a dumb question. We're going to ask it. Do you ever envision a game where you're pitching for Iowa and hitting at the same time? Not having a DH for the pitcher? I don't think I've ever seen that, but could you ever envision doing that? Or is that just too much to have to digest during a game?
I mean, I definitely think it could happen. I think last year I was DHing against Maryland, and then they put me into pitch, so I kind of did it,
okay.
But I didn't start the game pitching. I just came in open, but I still hit. But I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously it's difficult, but at the same time, like, my body will be in shape. I'll be ready to go. I don't think it'll be a big deal.
I don't know how much you were able to watch the College World Series, but Oklahoma won the title and they finished 14-16 in conference play. Does that just kind of show that anything can happen once you get in, that it's so hard to predict and what have you? I mean, because I didn't realize that they were only
14. That's incredible.
Yeah, talk about that. Just the fact that, you know, yeah, you can still achieve a lot if you get in and just get that chance.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they play in the SEC, so it's a little bit
different. Very tough.
Because they're playing against that. The RPI is going to be a little bit better just from playing in that conference. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think the same thing could happen for us. Like, you know, we just need to keep working hard and go one day at a time and winning games. And I think you never know what can happen once you get in there. And we just have to attack it with confidence and knowing we belong. And that's kind of the biggest thing, I think.
Well, you actually finished one game ahead of Oakland. You guys finished 15-15, but of course the conferences are different RPI ranking. Now, how long will you be? What's your schedule? When will you return to Iowa City?
So I think I'm going to be, well, I think I'm pitching like two more outings out here, and I might get a few more at-bats, and then I'm going to head back home. I'll have to go to, me and my family are taking a vacation at the beginning of August.
Okay.
So I think I'll be popping into Iowa City mid-July, around there a little bit, and then I'll be coming back full-time probably after that vacation,
okay.
Like first week of August or so.
I wanted to ask you, was there ever a time that you thought, yeah, maybe I will? I love it here. I love these guys, but maybe I am going to look for something else. Was that ever really in your mind? Were you ever leaning that way?
No, I mean, I think for me, it was just having those conversations with the coaching staff,
okay.
And having trust in them and, like, just hearing what they had to say. And because, you know, I obviously you have personal goals for what you want to achieve your next season. And I just wanted to make sure that their ideas aligned with mine. And once they did, it was an easy decision to stay.
Okay.
That's great.
And with the way this season ended, I know it didn't end the way you guys wanted. How much is that motivation for you guys moving into next season?
Yeah, I think there's motivation in a couple of ways. I think, like I said earlier, just trying to win for those guys that gave it all they had last season and the season before that I've played with, just the kids that have graduated. And I know they're watching and they want us to succeed. And I think also just kind of forming that that winning culture mm-hmm. with the younger kids. And like, I know I'm kind of a younger kid too, but just trying to have that, just trying to instill this winning culture that will continue on for years and years after, you know, this team's gone. And I think that's important, especially with how young of a team we were last year,
sure.
having most of those guys back here, just trying to keep building off of that. And hopefully we can have a really good season this year and it just continues to go on upward from there.
Well, I walked by the baseball complex yesterday. The press box is gone. I mean, they're building. I know that's not going to impact you guys on the field, but when you see the facilities enhancements and improvement, that's gotta excite you too. I mean, it's going to be, I mean, the press box was long overdue. That stuff's getting done. What does that mean to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome. Whatever they can do to get more fans into the games and put more excitement around the baseball team, I think it's awesome. Whatever, I really liked when they added that new clubhouse. It's awesome.
Yeah,
it's actually really nice. I don't know if you've ever been in there, but it's awesome. Good spot for us to hang out. And then, you know, the stuff the renovations are doing to the field, I think it's all going to help as far as getting fans to the games and just building the buzz around the baseball team.
Well, Kyle, listen, I appreciate you coming on in short notice. I mean, it's really exciting what you're doing out there, and I know fans are so happy that you decided to stay at Iowa. Look forward to next year. Stay healthy. And again, thank you for coming on. And Tom, anything?
Nope, we appreciate it, and I know all the Hawkeye fans are really looking forward to seeing you next year, seeing the team, and go Hawks.
Appreciate it, Kyle. Thanks.
Yeah, sure. I appreciate it. Anytime. Thank you.
All right. No, it's he's quite a story. What he's doing is very unusual. I mean, the fact that, I mean, pitching is one thing at this level, but to be able to hit and field the way he's doing, and I talked to Rick briefly yesterday, and Rick did say, you know, he's going to have a chance to. Yeah. Now, I don't mean that means he's going to play second base every game he's not pitching. I mean, but I think you're going to see him hitting a lot. If he's one of their better hitters, let him hit.
Yeah.
And I know there's kind of this unwritten rule, the pitcher can't hit. But, I mean, back in the old Little League days, I mean, usually the best hitter was also the best pitcher.
Yeah.
I was one of the rare exceptions to that because I was never a very good hitter. Even in Little League, I wasn't that good of a hitter.
I was only a hitter.
I could hit, but I was overrated as a hitter in Little League. I think I was overrated as a hitter because I was a good pitcher, but I really wasn't. And my dad's friend was our manager for my senior league team. He loved to tell the team and team what my batting average was. Like, hey, look, he'd rub it in that I was hitting like 220, and he'd laugh and make fun of me. And he was my dad's friend.
Everybody made fun of him.
But I was also his number one pitcher whenever he needed me. But I just was never a very good hitter. And that's what's amazing. Kyle is it's a neat story. And the loyalty thing is neat, too.
It is neat.
There's not near enough of that in college sports anymore. Well, you could have made more money elsewhere.
You saw some of that in your interview yesterday with Ava Hayden.
Ava Hayden, yes. Ava could have went out on the market and made a lot of money, but she's also being treated pretty well here.
She is.
She's at a good school for her major. There is more to it. Okay, let's say I can get $100,000 more there. I mean, in the long run, I think Ava's going to play in the WNBA. And, you know, she talked about the five-year thing and made it sound like she is going to play. But a lot can change in 2 years. I asked her that.
Absolutely.
She said, she said they'll have to wait. And if she does stay for 5 years at Iowa, great. But she could also, if she's All-American after her senior year, the WNBA is going to be all over her.
I would think so.
Her height, her quickness, the fact that she is such a good person.
Especially if she develops that.
The elbow jumper,
yes.
Which is what she's working on, that and free throws more than anything. Yeah, she gets that elbow jumper going, you might see her in Layla Hayes, because that could maybe let her play power forward a little bit.
And depending on matchups, sure.
Yeah, a lot will depend on matchups. But no, it was good to talk to some of the players yesterday, and we talked to Jan, got to watch him practice for nearly an hour. And in Carver, it was humid. It was no air conditioning and humid. And
well, if you think it was, wait till next week.
Well, I won't. Hopefully, they won't do. I think we would probably do it in the practice facility. It wasn't miserable there yesterday because it's not miserable now. Yeah, next week's going to be a miserable week in early July. Like it seems
heat
like
index
between with July and August, most of the weeks are miserable,
over
aren't they?
100 every day.
But isn't that right though? Most of the weeks in July and August are usually pretty uncomfortable.
Well, they can.
That's just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, we're going to take our... Okay.
Hello.
Hi, hey, what is this five-year deal going to do for, like, the recruiting and the young kids coming in? because they're going to get even less playing time. Don't you think?
Well, it does change. It does change the dynamics.
Perception-wise, it may give them less playing time, but also in their mind, but I have more time
but they, to yes,
compete.
Exactly.
I'll have more time to compete and try to work myself up. And
so it's, and, you know, the people say, oh, my God, this is such a wonderful thing for, you know, the Iowa women's basketball team. Well, yes, it is, but every team has got the same.
Yeah, I don't really think it's that big of a deal. Everyone's making it way more than it is. You don't get the redshirt anymore, but you still get that extra year. You're just, it's going to be, you're going to be participating, whether you're playing in the games or not, but you still get that extra year.
Yeah, and everybody's got the same rules.
Yes, it's all even playing field, and I do think some of this eligibility stuff and the COVID leftover, I mean, too many cases of 6- and 7-year players.
No, that's ridiculous.
Something needed to be done, and I think this is, I can live with this. I think it's okay.
Yeah. All right. Now let's take our break and we'll be right back.
1-800-800-ROSE. 1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist, is the only number you need to know to send flowers anywhere in the country or Canada from anywhere in the country. 1-800-800-ROSE. It's so easy. Just remember one number. 1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist. 1-800-800-ROSE. Remember,
don't wait for an emergency to get a backup for your car keys. Unlike the olden days, car keys have gotten extremely complex. Mike's eKeys for Cars can generate the most technically advanced automotive keys that are on the market today. For spares and lost keys, Mike's eKeys for Cars can produce most conventional transponder, high security, and remote head keys. Mike's eKeys for Cars will keep you on the road. Call 319-330-9185 and schedule an appointment today. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 319-330-9185 today.
For a gift that your loved one will treasure for a lifetime, find it at our family-owned jewelry store in Iowa City, Pertin and Stocker Jewelers.
We can show you diamond engagement rings, colored stones, fashion jewelry, and watches.
Our jewelers are on site, so we can design jewelry for that special person in your life.
We are Pertin and Stocker, serving Iowa City and the surrounding area for 3 generations.
Pertin and Stocker Jewelers, downtown Iowa City, and PertinandStockerJewelers.com. Ask for Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of us is always there.
If you live outside the city, you already know the struggle. Slow internet, drop calls, endless buffering, and promises from providers that never deliver. Well, now, things have changed. Big Dog Tech Solutions is proud to now offer Starlink Home Internet, bringing high-speed satellite internet to homes, farms, shops, cabins, and RVs across eastern Iowa and beyond. Starlink delivers fast, reliable internet where traditional providers can't. And Big Dog Tech Solutions makes it easy, setting up installation, networking, Wi-Fi setup, and local expertise you can actually call and talk to. So whether you're working from home, streaming TV, running security cameras, gaming, or just tired of terrible internet, it's time to upgrade. Call Big Dog Tech today at 319-395-0800. Or go to BigDogTech.net, that's BigDogTEK.net, and ask about Starlink, technology that works where you live.
Coralville's 4th Fest is packed with free family fun. Beginning with the annual 5K walk run on Saturday, June 27th, the fun continues July 1st with the opening of the Family Carnival in St. Morrison Park. Miller's Petting Zoo opens on the 3rd before the free 4th Fest concert featuring country stars Big and Rich and local sensation KC Brenner. On the 4th of July, enjoy the parade, kids' fun zone, and much more. 4th Fest wraps up that evening with the best fireworks show in eastern Iowa. Coralville.org has more information.
Hi, I'm Jim Street, owner of Streets Maintenance. As a licensed, insured, and bonded master plumber, I specialize in all plumbing repairs, including but not limited to water heater and sump pumps to toilet and faucet repairs and replacements. As an Iowa City native, I know how frustrating it can be when any part of your plumbing system breaks down. That's why I only use trusted brands and quality materials. I offer same-day, next-day service coupled with a fair price. I also offer general service to mobile homes. For more information about my business, I'm online at streetsmaintenance.com and Facebook, or give me a call at 400-4483.
Streets Maintenance. Honest plumbing at a fair price.
Your life is always changing, and a lot of things can affect how and what you save. So a good retirement plan changes with your life. At Wells Fargo Advisors, we believe conversation leads to financial clarity. So start a conversation today. Wells Fargo Advisors. Together, we'll go far. For information locally, call 338-3799 or 866-217-2369. Or stop by 501 12th Avenue, Suite 201, Coralville. Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, Member SIPC.
On an athletic team, you need team players, good athletes, superior equipment, and the best coaches available. In real estate, you need to have a good title and settlement team at your disposal. Hi, this is Steve Anderson. Whether you're buying, selling, or refinancing, you need quality title and settlement services. Consider the team at Hawkeye Title. Give us a call at 351-8600. Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust.
Don't let just anyone take care of your smile. At Diamond Dental, you can expect compassion, expertise, and a personalized care plan to protect your teeth for life. With more than 30 years of combined experience, Dr. Forbes and his staff are prepared to tackle even your toughest dental problems, leaving your smile healthy and sparkling. Diamond Dental offers a full range of general and cosmetic dentistry, as well as dental treatment options for snoring and sleep apnea. It's never too early to start thinking about what's best for your smile. Schedule an appointment today by calling 319-390-3703 or visiting the office at 5815 Consul Street Northeast, Suite D1 in Cedar Rapids. You can also visit DiamondDentalPC.com for more information. Dr. Forbes is a proud sponsor of the Hawkeye Wrestling Club and the Inner Circle. Let the Diamond Dental team provide superior care for your entire family.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years, and it works. Deer divots and dings do damage, but Premier Auto will do right by you. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Do yourself a favor. When your car is dinged, be a deer and call Premier. The deer don't like Premier, but you will. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's premier auto body repair shop.
Hit a deer? Call Premier. When you go to a family restaurant, you want three things. One, a wide selection of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items. Two, you want those selections to be affordable and delicious. And three, you want to be treated like family. You get all three at the Midtown Family Restaurant. Breakfast items available anytime the doors are open. Legendary tenderloins, onion rings, and hot roast beef sandwiches. Daily specials at each location, and no matter if you're coming in solo or with a group of 20, you get the same special family treatment. The Midtown Family Restaurants at Court and Scott Streets and at the Walmart Plaza on Highway 1 West. Follow them on Facebook or at MidtownFamily.com. The family's waiting for you.
GT Carr, owner of Supple's Building and Remodeling, has been offering unmatched service and quality for over 25 years. The trained professionals at Supple's Building and Remodeling will install and guarantee the products used in any job, no matter how big or small. They also stand behind their work and offer no-nonsense, exceptional customer service from design to completion and beyond. Whether it's a simple window replacement or a major house addition, you'll have the confidence that Supple's Building and Remodeling is committed to quality. Visit Supple's.net or call them today at 319-337-2246.
If you're looking for a trusted insurance guidance from someone who truly understands your needs, you can turn to me, Tiffany Rao, independent insurance agent. I specialize in Medicare and senior products, and I also offer coverage for those under 65 through the ACA marketplace, along with long-term care and cancer insurance plans. As a proud second-generation insurance professional, I bring local expertise and personal touch you can count on. Call me today at 319-631-4795, and let's find the coverage that's right for you.
When someone is kind enough to share their time with us, we better make it worth their while.
They don't want to do the, people call it the game, right?
Patrick Gaines and Terry Adams of Deary Brothers Ford talk about what here for you means to them.
You don't have to spend a half a day in our dealership to get that good competitive price. We just want to try to deliver that to you up front.
And that makes me feel good. Makes me proud.
Because that's what people want. They want a fair, honest deal.
As far as the statement here for you, we want to not just say it, but live it.
Find out what it means to you at Deary Ford in Iowa City.
You hungry? The Oxyokin Sunday Brunch Buffet offers so many choices of fresh entrees, homemade salads, waffles, omelets made to order, pastries, three tiers of desserts, and much more. Such a great value. You can always eat out, but not every place serves an experience. Serve 9 until 2. See you this Sunday. You'll always leave happy at the Oxyokin in the heart of Amana.
The Oxyokin.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. With nearly 600 people dead and thousands more hurt, help is on the way from the United States to Venezuela following this week's double earthquakes.
An international aid effort is mobilizing. The U.S. military and State Department sending support. And in Miami,
volunteers with a global empowerment mission are packing up relief supplies.
ABC's Victor Oquendo. President Trump told a crowd last night that the U.S. and Iran are close to a final peace deal, but until then, the Strait of Hormuz is open. Iran, however, firing a drone at a ship in the strait last night. ABC contributor and former senior Pentagon official Mick Mulroy says the Iranians seem intent on keeping the strait closed.
The reason why they want to do it, because they want to own it. They have the ability to close it down, and they have the ability to charge fees. So over time, that could be a huge boom financially for the regime.
Former Trump National Security Advisor John Bolton has pleaded guilty today to a single count of illegal retention of national security information. This is ABC News. 2 weeks after she escaped from her enclosure at an exotic animal ranch in Texas Hill Country, Gracie the giraffe is still missing. In Dallas, here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
Just as they would in a missing persons case, law enforcers are using every resource at their disposal in this missing giraffe case.
It's hired helicopters. They've flown it with drones. We've got a lot of people in our county kind of keeping a watchful eye.
Sheriff Nathan Johnson says Rayall County is full of mountain lions and rattlesnakes, but the terrain is a risk to Gracie as well.
There's a lot of caves and sinkholes. She could break a leg.
Surveillance cameras on nearby ranches have snapped images of Gracie, but so far she's eluded capture. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The heat wave continues blanketing Western Europe. 55 people have now drowned after trying to cool off in rivers and streams in France. Drinking alcohol has been banned in Paris parks and alcohol sales banned past 6 p.m. with the suggestion that people drink water instead. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
From the Hertine and Stocker Studios in the heart of the Hawkeye Nation, this is the mighty 1630 KCJJ Iowa City.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, making memories, making moments.
Meteorologist Rodney Price, plenty of clouds into the afternoon, east winds and high temperatures in the mid-70s. Tonight will turn it partly cloudy as lows drop into the upper 50s. On Saturday, mostly sunny skies and lower 80s. Saturday night, more clouds all the way. Could have a shower or storm with lows in the upper 60s. On Sunday, skies turning mostly sunny. Highs will be warmer in the lower 90s. That's KCJJ weather. Currently 71 degrees.
KCJJ weather. Brought to you by Plum Supply.
Plum Supply, kitchens and baths. Your home never looks so beautiful.
We're back and talking on the world's greatest microphones.
No, it was the headphones that you guys used to make fun of. Sometimes.
Oh, the headphones are trash.
Yeah, that's what I got confused with. You didn't. I mean, yeah. So he took offense to that. I could tell. You didn't.
No, they were trash.
You gave
it. What are you talking?
He's going to fight you on this.
No, I don't know.
Yes, you do. You get the six headphones for $15 each or something,
and a cup of soup from Panera.
Crap.
Oh, we're still
using. They work.
They're still using them.
So you're getting six headphones for I pay for two bowls of soup at Panera.
No, they went up in price.
Okay, all right. That's what I remember. That's what I was.
They were like 90. Now they're $98. They were $89 before. And now they're
but at least now I know my mind. I'm not losing my mind. It was the headphones. The headphones.
No, the microphones are excellent. Yeah,
headphones, Captain. You don't have the best headphones in the industry.
No,
but I've got the cheapest.
There you go.
Well, not the ones you're using. The ones you're using are industry standard. They're Sony's 7605.
Ooh, the 7s. Those have always been my favorite, the 7605s.
They're better than the 7604.
Yes.
Wait a second and I'll look. No, 7506. Excuse me.
Oh, okay.
I like those,
too. Well,
that's
different.
So does Uncle Ray use the same type of headphones when he's out?
He uses, a sports headphone, which is a good, I think it's Shure.
But it's your guys's, right? He doesn't,
it's our.
Why does he have a different one? Just because it's.
Well, or else he'd have to have a mic. He's got
I see what you mean.
Like a headset. Right.
I see what you mean.
Like that used to hear you complain that the game was going too long.
Well, there was lots of times that I was complaining and I would have a microphone in my hand. That was another thing I used to bitch about. I wanted a mouthpiece, and I didn't get it.
You wanted a headset.
Yeah. There I am at 10:30 on a Friday night at some high school with getting eaten by bugs and holding my own microphone. And you think I didn't have a right to bitch?
I could have got a headset that I.
But you wanted to, deep down, you wanted to hear me bitch. I still think you got some humor out of that, even though it really wasn't a good PR message. I think you let it ride for a while because you enjoyed it, because you thought I was uncomfortable.
No, I enjoyed when I'd turn it on Friday night and Molly go, well, the game's delayed again and it's like 8:45.
You would start laughing because you knew that Molly and I were both unhappy. Isn't that a big part of it?
Yeah.
So at least you admit it.
Yeah, that's not Molly's favorite time. So.
Molly and I used to bond on our bitterness for things going late.
I would turn to Jan and say, man, she's going to be bitter tonight. I would.
And you loved it. I did tell you the time a guy came up to me at Hy-Vee and said that his kid was just getting ready to start playing high school sports, and he misses the fact that he's not going to hear me ripping him for, you know, for walking somebody at 10 at night on a Friday. I started laughing.
What game was that? It started like at 8:45.
And in fairness, I never ripped the kids. I just ripped being there late at night.
When I came here, and they had a guy, Paul Morse, doing the games.
I remember Paul.
Very seriously.
I remember he said, Hayden?
He'd rip the kids.
Yeah, see, you can't
do
that.
The first game I ever heard on this station, I hadn't been here yet, but I was listening. I was listening in Muscatine, and he just started. What did he rip the kids?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't do that. They're high school kids. I mean, it's hard enough doing it to college kids, but it's easier college kids because you get paid a lot of money now. But still, you got to be fair with your criticism. All I ever did was rip the circumstances, never the kids. The circumstances.
But I do remember that.
And I would usually blame the adults who started the games at 8:15 and 8:30.
This was a lightning delay or something. You didn't start that game till 8:45.
Was I there?
Yes.
So you got
at 8:45, and I think, and I listened to
and what you said, that's $50 well spent, because Hardy's miserable.
Well, you started bitching like right out of the gate.
And Ray was always, he was a ray of sunshine.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
No matter the circumstance, Ray's glass was half full.
I turned to Jan and said, man, Molly's going to be bitter tonight.
And she was.
I'll never forget. I can't remember. I think I was doing it with Podaski. Remember when the West High City High football game didn't start till like 10:45?
Yes.
And that was so ridiculous that I couldn't bitch
now
about
that
it.
Is ridiculous.
It was just ridiculous. But it wasn't even, you know, I gave up. I'm like, okay.
Well,
I mean, it's 1:30 in the morning. We're Richard's doing play-by-play for high school football.
Yeah, I didn't listen to that game, but I did listen to the 8:45.
The best thing after that game, though, was I remember the coaches, they were even complaining. Like, Jesus, what is it about?
They can't coming back with the lightning.
Well, it's 8.6 miles, 30-minute delay.
And what you say, what is this going to end?
And, you know, that's a tough thing to criticize. It's all safety, and I get it. Lightning, you can't take any chances.
No.
But, no, it's a 30. There's a problem. And all levels of sports do that. It's always a 30-minute delay, and I believe it's 8.6 miles.
Well, there was that football game, the Iowa game a few years ago. That was just brutal.
No, but for that, at least I was in the press box eating free food.
Yeah, but is sitting there on the metal bleachers, and, you know, everybody's gone, and I'm saying, come on, we got to go down. I've never left a Hawkeye game, and I'm not going to now. I said, you're sitting on metal bleachers.
Sounds like Bud.
And the odds of getting struck were slim. That's probably what he reminded
himself. I went down, and Carol was there. I said, I can't get him to, well, he gets struck by lightning. He gets struck by lightning.
My favorite image, though, is still the dog that showed up for after all the security left in the fourth quarter, a dog's just on the 50-yard line, prime seats with his owner because they just happened to be walking by, and the Iowa football game was still being security left.
Sitting down.
Remember
the
that?
The dog's sitting down.
Well, no, because I had left.
Oh, you had left. Shooter had even left.
Yeah.
Got home and watched the end of the game on TV.
Yeah, lightning. See, it was up to.
They focused right on the
it was up to the opponent to decide. The opponent was the one who would say, okay, enough, right? And they played it through.
I had to work here Sunday morning, so I just basically went home for 15 minutes, changed clothes, and came here to work.
That's right. You were in the press.
I was like four. I'm like, yeah, that's perfect.
Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Rugby Jim.
Hey, what's up, Rugby Jim?
Here we are, living that dream, right?
Oh, without – yep, the dream gets better. Every second.
Some facsimile thereof, right?
Yep.
Yeah. What's up?
Hey, just wanted to let you know the Block Party 7th is on this weekend.
The what?
Block Party 7th.
Okay, what is...
Oh, the downtown Iowa City thing?
What's that?
The downtown Iowa City Block Party?
Yeah, it's in conjunction with the downtown Block Party.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's put on by the Iowa City Ducks.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I believe it's going to be played at the Iowa Pitch out there off of Melrose Avenue. And also, just an announcement, too, that Tyler Daly, the coach of the Iowa team, has just returned from New Zealand and Australia. He was in coaching classes over there, so kudos to him. He's really been really good at bringing Iowa to better standards in rugby and in the Midwest as far as the coaching level of Iowa coaches throughout the Midwest. So, yeah, good job there.
All right.
Nice show, guys.
Okay, thank you. Always appreciate hearing from you, Jim. You take care, buddy.
You guys have a good day. We'll see you around town.
All right, sounds good, man.
All right. Thanks, bye.
Thanks, bye.
So what do we got going on this weekend in Iowa City?
It's the downtown block party, isn't it? And we got Trek Fest this weekend.
We got Trek Fest. Riverside.
And the heat will spare this weekend, right? But it doesn't it really start picking up like Sunday,
Monday?
Well,
if they have a block party Saturday night, they got a good chance of
rain?
Storms, yeah.
I think that's this weekend.
But don't you guys usually promote stuff like that? I haven't heard you guys.
Yeah, downtown doesn't with this stuff. It's different than our downtown businesses.
Oh, okay, because you'd think you'd want to get it on the radio.
The district, so you would think, because I didn't know.
I hadn't heard anything about it. Thanks to Rugby Jim.
Yes.
Keeping us informed about the goings-ons in Iowa City.
No, it's a lot of fun. A lot of people go there that hear about it.
We've gone several times. I don't know if we'll go again this year, but we might.
Let me check and see what the odds are with the weather.
That was kind of not, but disappointing to hear that the Kennedy compound is just off limit. I mean,
yeah,
you know, maybe I don't know if they was going through construction or something, but
I guess I'm not surprised.
No, I'm not surprised either. Security and whatever, but yeah, that's cool though. That you know, you said that to him, and hey, it already tried to go out there. That's one of the first things. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Nor have I.
Only 40% chance. I mean,
okay,
it could be worse. Hello.
Hello.
This is how it works.
Now it's your turn.
Yeah. Okay.
Have a good Thanks, day. Mr. Marconi.
We seem to get some of those.
Hello. I could keep you on the line.
And
all
you've
day.
Done everything.
Yeah, guys.
Oh,
Jesus Christ. What the hell, Paul? When I say hello, you talk, Paul. That's the theory behind this show, is I answer the phone. These guys are on mics, very expensive mics, by the way.
The best in the industry.
and you talk. So let's hear.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
Brad Banks.
Yeah, good player.
Good show today. He was born by Lake Okeechobee.
Yeah.
Yep. Heard from guys down there when I fish that he's coaching kids down there.
Okay. I know. Yeah, he's from Billglade, Florida.
Fields.
He's from Billglade, Florida. I've been in his house. I've sat in his living room and talked to his mom.
Oh, so you recruited him?
No, I was down there covering the Orange Bowl, and that was one of the stories I did. I drove up there because we were down there for like a week back when the Press Citizen actually
wasn't
had
that
money.
Crazy?
Yeah, and I drove up there with a photographer, and we sat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we. Vita Banks.
God, he was a good one. So humble.
Yep, he was a good kid.
Good guy.
Good guy.
Too.
Quiet kid.
Yep.
The next story, Joe Paterno.
So we're going from Brad Banks to Joe Paterno. All right. All right. What do you got about Joe Paterno? You got any hot takes?
Oh, yeah. You remember Billy Schultz, Tom?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, 70, 71.
Yeah.
About 6 foot tall, but man, he had hands.
He did.
What the hell are we talking
about? I saw him at a tailgate. He was back from New York helping farmers around here. I said, Bill, did you ever have any concussions? He says, I'll tell you a story. His first game, or not his first game, but he was a freshman, wide receiver.
Yes.
6 foot, probably 180.
Okay.
He got cold cocked on the Penn State sideline.
Oh, okay.
Paterno gets in his face, and he says, welcome to the Big Ten, freshman.
Wow. All right.
True story.
All right. That's a
there you go.
A good, good addition to the show. Thank you.
Appreciate the look back.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, in the Iowa press box, I helped build that.
The baseball one?
Oh, yeah.
Well, needed to be bigger.
Well, your work has been torn down.
Yep.
History.
Progress.
Yeah, it lasted about 40 years.
Yeah, yep. That's pretty good.
There you go.
It's pretty good.
Well, carry on.
All right, we'll do it. Thanks.
All right. Captain,
okay.
Your response?
There were thousands of people fired yesterday at iHeart, and yet we're still here.
Yeah.
After that segment, how am I to justify that?
Well, so
after the last two calls.
Yeah. A buddy of mine just texted saying, Jesus, I wonder why local radio is dying. And he's an avid listener, but he just texted me. Oh, my God.
Wow.
I wasn't sure where he was going with the paternal thing and the
no,
hand.
No, but it was actually
it actually
good...
turned out to be a good... Good little
it,
look
it
back.
It did, and I wasn't.
It doesn't surprise me that Paterno would do
no.
something. That's
no.
competition, but it just took him a while to get there.
I was his brother Bob Schultz was in my class.
Okay, so was Billy also a graduate of your high school?
No, he was a City High.
City High. Okay, yeah. All right. So, but yeah, that was interesting. So what you said? So there were more layoffs yesterday,
yes.
So they really don't have anything left.
No, they don't want anything left.
But then what's the point of owning radio stations?
Make money.
But how are you going to make money? Are people going to keep advertising?
And they're not making money.
But is just going national going to make more money? I know it's going to cost way less to operate, so you'll make money, but it's not going to make your advertising go up, is it? I don't get it.
I don't either.
Why would people in Des Moines or whatever want to advertise? Although, do they not rely on any local?
They don't care about local.
They don't care about Iowa.
No.
1% of
their... They really don't.
And see, that's basically what all my website... That's all we rely on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because then the people that are listening also kind of have a stake in what you're doing. Yeah, I just think it's really unfortunate.
No, it's
extremely unfortunate.
Yeah, it's terrible. Seriously, it's terrible because radio always was that local voice. Even when... You go back to the 40s, okay? When they did all these network shows mm-hmm. and
yeah.
crap, you know.
Yep.
Still, those stations, you know, had local people that connected with the community. Just like the license says you have to. But the government's ignoring that. So these stations don't have studios. WMT's not going to have a studio for long because once their lease is up, in Channel 2, they're out. They just want everything up in the cloud, and they want they've got a group of announcers.
And I just don't think podcasts are the answer. More podcasts. Everyone's more. I just think we're going to get to a point where there's too many podcasts. You know?
We're already there.
And in some ways, I think we already are there. But no, it's just unfortunate that. One of them said they were on vacation and they basically were fired over a phone call.
Well, they all were fired over a phone call. But the bad thing was so the East Coast got fired first. Okay, because there's just
an hour ahead.
Yeah. And then people that knew the people in, you know, the Midwest, they called them up and said, hey, you're going to get fired. And then they called. So by the time they got to California,
they were all prepared.
People were just on the air. Wow. Were just revolting on the air and ripping the hell out of them.
Because I think a lot of them, there's not going to be radio opportunity. There's nothing out there really.
There's still groups that are doing, you know.
Not enough of them to employ all these people that lost their jobs.
No.
I mean, for a lot of them, it's the end of
WMT,
era.
My mother in the Quad Cities used to have WMT on the radio.
Are they owned by iHeart?
Yeah, there's nobody there.
So what? They've had layoffs in the last couple of days?
Everybody's gone.
How many were there before?
Two.
So they got rid of both of them.
When you said
everybody's gone, I was thinking sweeping, but it was two people, you know, which is depressing in itself.
But there have been so many other layoffs before that they were down.
They don't have a morning show. They don't have a local morning show.
Okay, now anymore. The channel that Brommelkamp was on, is that iHeart too?
No.
Because, you know, they've obviously been doing layoffs for a while.
Yeah, but they're local.
They're local, so... Yeah, but yeah, it's just unfortunate. I was looking the other day, there's just a lot of Hawkeye podcasts, and I know this converts to a podcast, but there's not much of what we're doing right now, and I know what we're doing ain't much, but we're still doing it.
Well, the last call.
Yeah.
People are sitting there that lost their job going, Jesus Christ, these guys are
How are
still
these
on
guys still on?
Yeah. Yeah. They're getting. How did that happen?
The timing, though, no wonder local radio is struggling. I hadn't thought about that. They are people listening and be like, good Lord.
Well, I'm hearing. I was saying, good Lord.
It's been that Kyle Lebo interview seems like a lifetime ago.
Well, it was
back. Where do you think we're going to be 3 years from now? Not I'm just the industry. Where do you think, what more can happen to it? Do you think we've kind of hit a level where this is how it's just going to be for a while now?
I think it'll get
just a bunch of national.
I think it'll be a bunch of... voices in the cloud.
Okay, so how often then is radio going to talk about the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Iowa State Cyclones? And I mean, national people don't really care about this unless somebody here does something incredible.
Unless they lose income, they're not going to care. And I mean, you know, national advertisers are still going to look at your stations. They're still going to look at the ratings. If there's a drop-off in radio listening, which... You know, despite all these guys touting their podcasts and now the internet is everything, there has not yet been a drop-off in radio listening.
No, I saw it was 92% of
92% listen once a week, 81% listen every day.
Yeah, that's what I've seen. Yeah.
And it's highly accessible. You just turn on your car.
Yeah. But unless national advertisers see the stations... dropping listenership, nothing's gonna.
So had you heard any rumblings that this was coming, or did this catch you off guard like it seems to have caught all them down there?
I didn't think they'd fire listen, you got WMT without a local morning show. I never thought that would
so
happen.
What's in its place now?
National,
like ESPN or Fox?
No, national show,
syndicated national
talk.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
talk show.
So, yeah, it was...
it's called This Is Your Morning Show.
Speaking of talk shows, I'm not a Colin Coward fan, and I don't pay much attention to it, but he did pop up on my timeline, and he had a good take on Caitlin Clark. He just cannot figure out why the WNBA is trying to, for some reason, it seems jealous of the person, the one person that has uplifted the league financially like nobody else ever has.
And It doesn't make any sense.
Stephen A. Smith said the same thing.
I mean, it's just, they do seem jealous of her.
Yeah, And then the players are jealous.
Well, they had Christine Brennan on.
Not all.
Did you see Christine Brennan on CNN?
No.
I think it was CNN. She's written a book about Caitlin. She went into real detail about it. I mean, she said the fact that Caitlin is white, straight, and from Iowa, that makes her a target, because she said the league is at least one-third gay. I don't know. I mean, that's what she said.
At least.
I would say at least. And she says for some reason it's toxic, and they're just biting the... What's the saying? Biting the hand that feeds them.
It's just blatant. You know, I think more than white and straight, I think it's just jealousy.
Oh, I think it's jealousy. I just don't know what it's rooted in more. Is it racism? Is it sexism? Or is it just basic jealousy?
It's all of those things.
Yeah, I think you can be... I mean, remember when Michael Jordan... remember how he was treated early on and people were jealous of him? I mean, it happens. I just don't get it, because she's making... I mean, Alyssa Thomas, they said, makes $1.2 million a year now.
Yeah.
Playing. She wasn't making that before Caitlin.
Not at all.
And they're just... I don't get it. I mean, you can compete against her and you can, you know, I mean...
Well, here's a piece of information that will help, at least in the Alyssa Thomas case. She's Dewana Bonner's girlfriend.
Yeah, I think... Aren't they married?
They could be.
Yeah, I thought that was the case. But, man, that fist in the neck, I didn't realize it watching the game. That was so blatant.
Oh, and I know.
It was terrible.
They don't call it?
I'm amazed that Caitlin was able to keep her composure. Maybe she was having trouble breathing, because there's a lot of people. You do that in the NBA,
that's a fist fight.
That's a brawl.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was just not...
A one-game suspension is not enough for Alyssa Thomas.
No. And did she get a fine with it, or is it just the fine is the money she loses?
I think it's $1,500.
I think it was $1,500. No, I thought that was way too light. That was just blatant. And I just don't get it.
Yeah, it was
I'm just so
BS.
Tired of the narratives. I just want to be able to watch Caitlin play basketball and not have all the other crap. But that's social media. Because, guys, there's also a lot of Caitlin worshipers
that are
on social media provoking people. That doesn't help either, and that's not her.
No.
She's not asking for that.
No.
She's just asking to be treated.
She wants to play ball.
She wants to play ball. Yeah. And she knows she's not going to be treated like anyone else, because she's not like anyone else, but she's willing to accept that. And it's irritating.
Hello.
If I was Caitlin, I'd just finish out this rookie contract and then go play overseas and do that, and let this league just flounder off and go back to flying coach and everything else.
I mean, I get that, but I mean, I don't think she wants to go overseas. I think she wants. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but I don't know. And she could make good money overseas, but a lot of those leagues you're playing over there to make good money, there's not a lot of good.
Yeah.
There's other stuff you got to deal with, you know. So, but. But, yeah, I just don't get why they don't embrace her more.
It's everything. It's the jealousy. It's the, you know, sexuality.
I like how they say it. They bring up the race, the sex, and all of that she's from Iowa. It's like a triumvirate of strikes. Why is being from Iowa? I don't get that one. I get why people are going to be arguing back and forth between racism.
Thanks for the call.
But what's wrong with being from Iowa? They kind of hold that against her. Like, that's part of the reason there's...
Well, you know, because we're all hicks out here, and they're from the coast. And,
yeah,
I
don't know. But, yeah, I forgot. I knew that they were a couple. And I thought I read where they maybe were married.
Well, and they could be. I'm not sure.
That's how the guys...
are a couple.
The WNBA is so different than... You imagine two married players playing in the NBA on the... It's just a completely different situation. But, no, this is getting old. I mean, it's just... It's getting old. The WNBA just seems clueless on how to deal with her. I mean,
it's sad.
And of course, we're all biased, she doesn't do. The only thing she does is she bitches on the court.
And she does.
And she does about the. And I find great humor in it, probably more than I probably should, because there's times where I'm like, get pissed. But now I don't do it as much because I don't want to get her a tea.
Well,
her...
you know, it's like Angel Reese gets attacked. You know, people call Angel Reese, you know, because she's black and
she's a little more confrontational than Caitlin, though.
Yeah, she's more, but she's not a thug.
No, she's not a thug. She's a hell of a rebounder.
Yeah,
she
God,
is.
If she could shoot, my
ever.
God! But she's just not a very good shooter. She gets people point out, she gets her own misses. Okay, she's still getting her own misses.
You know,
yes,
they were on
right.
the same team. They got along just
they were,
fine. You know,
and they'd be fine together.
And the WNBA was trying to do, you know, make them like. I mean, WNBA was trying to build up this rivalry between
you
them.
You can't
and
force it.
And yeah,
you
and
can't force anything.
Yeah,
you just can't. So, but so they play tomorrow. Have we got an update on her back?
No, I have not seen anything.
I haven't seen anything.
They'll put out a thing the morning of the game. An update.
Because it was weird. I was watching the game, then I got distracted, and I came back, and I'm like, okay, where is she? She's not on the bench. And I don't want to criticize the announcers, even though I'm going to. They went through almost the entire third quarter without even mentioning her name. And then they finally brought up, I think they were waiting to get some type of, but I'm like, okay, what's going on with Caitlin? But they never said anything for almost the entire third quarter. And I was like, this is so irritating. Give me an update. And then they all said at the end of the quarter, they're like, she's not going to return. I'm like, and then I think they said due to her back issue, or what have you. And I missed all that. And but no, it's just, I mean, it was unfortunate. And the WNBA they got to figure this out. They got to do a better job of.
Well, that's
PR.
Why we were talking about yesterday that, and since we talked, I had a couple messages yesterday. People saying, "No, Caitlin's a good golfer." She's not.
Well, people saying that she should go and play professionally. She's not that good.
She's not that good.
No. She's not that good.
But
guys.
That wasn't just people saying. That was the women's whatever. What's the organization?
I mean, they could let her in because she's Caitlin
LPGA.
Clark.
LPGA.
But she's not going to be competitive. I mean, she's a good golfer for somebody who's golfed as a hobby, but she's not a professional golfer.
No. But that's what. But again, they're thinking.
PR, publicity.
Yeah, PR and
it'd
ratings.
Be a gimmick. It'd be a gimmick.
Yeah.
And Caitlin shouldn't be a gimmick.
Because they don't do the ratings.
Caitlin is above being a gimmick.
I agree. I'm just saying that's what they said.
Yeah.
Is that they'd welcome her into the league.
Boy, Caitlin's just a lightning rod, though. You know, she's one of those players.
Yeah, and her emotion does make her a target at times. But, you know, it is who she is, and other players have been highly emotional and what have you, but no, it's the jealousy thing. And everyone's like, well, why? What's different about Caitlin? What's different about Caitlin is she caught the attention of the nation. People weren't lining up for 3 hours at away arenas for Asia Wilson in college, for Paige Beckers in college. For some reason, they were for Caitlin. I think a lot of it was the logo threes. I think people were fascinated by the fact she took 35 footers and made them and scored all these points, never got hurt, and they were good.
Well, and her passing.
And her passing, but the passing was part of it, but the logo threes is what caught the game at Michigan her sophomore year. When she scored, I think, 46.
Yes.
And made, that's when people are like, what the hell is going on here? Who is this person? And I think that started to feed it and what have you.
This is what she means to this community. There are buses now, my neighbor Anita took one, that are packing it in, taking him to Fever games.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, you know, and that never happened before.
Well, actually, Sugar Ray's company takes buses over there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're jealous, the best way to handle it is to try to beat her, is to try to win games and what have you. And all this other stuff. And I do, at some point, the commissioner, what's her name? Kathy Engel? Doesn't at some point she got to take a stand and start? I mean, not saying she's responsible for everything, but I just think the way things are trending right now, it's just not a good look. It's just not a good look for the WNBA.
No, it isn't.
To have this perception where you seem jealous of the player that's basically taking your whole league to another level.
But they don't even want to give her those kudos.
No.
And this argument, oh, she's part of it. No, she's it.
Yeah.
She's the reason. I mean, she's the reason. She's it.
When she's not playing and they announce she's not playing,
I change the channel.
Well, so do 50% of their viewership.
I know that sounds bad, and I feel, but I'm just being honest. When they said she was out for that, you think I watched the fourth quarter of that game? Hell no.
Last year, they lost 50% of their viewership.
Yeah, and Tom stayed and watched it, which is his right. I was done. I went right back to
And fair enough.
And I had no Andy Griffith or Rockford. I was kind of navigating kind of on my own there. I had nowhere to go, but I wasn't going back to the Fever game.
Yeah. Well, your old pal Marina Mabry scored
39.
53 last night.
Oh, was it 50? I thought it was 39. Oh, no, she had 39 going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was 53.
She made threes from all over the place. She's been mean to Caitlin.
Oh, she...
I think she's jealous of Caitlin.
Absolutely she is.
Yeah, I think she's jealous. And, you know, she's a great player. I don't know.
She is, but
well, there's radio people that are jealous that we're on such expensive microphones.
Not after the last few of those phone calls. No, now it's a sympathy.
No, they're pissed off that they lost their job and we're still... And I don't blame them.
But we'll come back. I mean, we haven't. You weren't here last Saturday, were you?
No.
No.
No, this will be our first Saturday show in a while. So we've got to, you know, we got that bar that we got to try to meet, too.
We can do it.
Yeah, and there's always chance.
I'm confident.
You feel pretty good about tomorrow's show?
I feel great.
You feel good about tomorrow's show, Captain? No. Are you here tomorrow?
Yeah.
You think Paul calls in?
Yeah.
Paul has every right to call in.
He has every right. He's always welcome to call
But Paul, next time, you know, the little the delays there, I mean, I do agree with you, Captain. Saying hello early is probably the best way to launch the conversation, don't you think?
Yeah, well, it's worked since the invention. So, yeah.
Who invented radio?
Marconi, wasn't it?
No. Jesus.
And
DeForest. Was he the
DeForest?
And when? What
so
time?
Marconi, he was the
Radio was around in the late 1800s.
Was it really?
Actually,
so not during the Civil War. Not during the Civil War, though.
No.
Okay.
No, but television came around in the 20s.
So was Marconi the telegraph then?
Yeah. And radio, I mean, it did the first, you know, United States to Europe.
Yep.
Yeah, hello. Lee DeForest.
Yeah, another thing that with Caitlin, a bunch of us used to hit the bars and stuff to watch those games. And you know, we kept doing that all together, so there's money lost there. But
sure.
I do look forward to hitting Coach's Corner this fall to watch some football. So
you bet.
All right. There you go.
Yep. Yep, we'll see you now. Thanks.
All right. Coach's Corner's got some new menu items, too, that you need to check out. Flatbreads are real good.
Are we doing lunch?
I have to be somewhere at noon, but if we're...
You got time.
We'll do lunch another...
Do you have time?
Yeah, you don't have time.
Today?
Yeah.
As I said, I have something at noon. I want to be at... We're taking Bitsy to get her... to the groomer.
Oh, okay.
And I want to be there for that.
Well, yes.
To see what it's all about.
Bitsy.
What's it all about is they set the dog there and they cut the dog's hair.
Did you guys name it Bitsy or is that her name?
That was her name.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah. Well, we'll do it Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for the callers. And anything else? And we will have a show tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think... We didn't miss any. I did want to say the Iowa scored their highest ever in the Director's Cup.
Yeah.
Of course.
Saw that.
This guy that follows me on Twitter, I'm not going to say his name, but he's the most he makes Mr. Pessimist seem positive. Right away, his take was, and how many Big Ten championships? I mean, he always finds something wrong. But I think that's it's the best they've ever done. There were years where Iowa did terrible.
Oh, yeah.
It was an ongoing story in the 90s, how terrible they used to do in the Director's Cup.
I remember the press season used to have a big thing about that. Yeah.
Well, Suckamill and I used to grade the program.
Oh, I remember.
And we did a lot of work. Ryan and I did that stuff together. We would...
The arrows.
We did the arrows, and we did A, B, C's, and D's. I mean, we worked our asses on that stuff, and it got a lot of readership, and it was fair. It was objective. It was very fair, I thought. And I do think this is a reflection of Beth a little bit. It's got to be. I mean, she's been in there long enough. I mean, but no, that to me, that's something you should celebrate. But some people just like to constantly find the negative side of something. And I didn't respond to the guy. He's always there to just rip. Just rip.
I get sick of that crap.
But that's social media. For some reason, people enjoy ripping and fighting more than praising and getting along. That just seems to energize people more. Wouldn't you agree? Social media kind of brings out that?
Yeah.
It brings out the worst in everybody.
It seems to.
Because there's accountability.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of followers on Facebook, but I almost got off of it yesterday. It really pissed me off.
Why? What was going on?
I've been posting pictures of Jan and me and
So you got people ripping you for posting pictures of your recently deceased wife?
You got to get over this.
That's not up to them to tell
someone
you.
Someone said that?
Someone's.
Seriously.
I mean, it's bad enough telling those radio people they need to get over losing their jobs, but that one is, that's just.
Well, I'm never going to get over
it. I mean, how do you get over losing your wife?
You don't. After 55 years?
You don't.
No.
I would never. I
mean, maybe if you've been married three or four times. But I, you know, you.
I mean, I'm still not over the death of my dog from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And my other dog from 6.5 years ago. I mean, it's part of it. But no, I didn't realize you were going through
ridiculous.
That.
Well, that's
ridiculous. Yeah, I would just.
I, you know.
And it's not always easy to ignore. It's easier saying that.
And
than
one
it
of them
is.
Was one of them was, you know, a friend,
an actual friend
that I actually knew and have run into.
Well, I so often see these just nasty comments on Twitter. Then you'll look at their profile, serving Jesus. I mean, it's just.
I know, with goddamn Eagles flags and serving Jesus, doing,
you know,
Jesus.
Doing God's work on a daily, you know, and yet they're God's just on there just ripping people. That's and lots of those are probably bots, I would imagine, but still, it just gets exhausting. It's just exhausting.
It is.
It really is.
You know.
So.
Well, should we turn things over to the police blotter?
Lang's ready. He said
Lang is ready.
He's ready. Yeah. So, again, everybody, have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks to Kyle Olivo for joining
thanks,
us this
Kyle.
Morning.
Yeah.
And police reports are next with Tommy Lang and Captain Steve, HawkFanatic.com. Check it out. It's free.